Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
So I bet you weren't expecting to see a picture of Claudia Winkleman opening up a session on the summer of sports. She is not going to take part in the Olympics or the Euros or even a new category of the best fringe in the Olympics. She is, of course, the amazing presenter of the wildly popular TV series, The Traitors. Lots of fans in the audience? Who wants to? Yeah? Okay, great. Love that. So arguably some of the best TV we've had in years.
Yeah, poor Molly though, right? Poor Molly.
Bad times. Well, you're not alone. The BBC confirmed that a whopping 6.9 million of us tuned in for that series finale in 2023. But what we know about that is that appointment viewing is still relevant and still important in our entertainment consumption habits. We're now seeing that engagement doesn't stop when the episode ends. People are seeking out more content. They want to continue the conversation around their favourite shows and around the cultural moments that they're passionate about. From podcasts to articles, social media to TikTok. They want to continue the conversation. And what we're seeing is over 40,000 posts on Traitors alone in the UK, proving that whilst traditional TV is still big and important, that the conversation continues on platforms like TikTok, where people can add their own humour, add their own conversation and their own point of view. Like this TikTok, Dom Lawrence, who had some thoughts on the success of this year's Faithfuls.
I'm only half an hour, I trust you more than my firstborn, but I really don't know. When you look at the facts, guys, it's pretty evident that I'm not a traitor. I don't like to be, you know, associated. Can I finish, please? Can I finish my sentence? I really just don't know, guys. I just don't know. Like, it's a bit too tense, isn't it? You made a comment, Kyle, earlier today when you said that you didn't like Kylie Minogue, and that just screams traitor to me because that's just horrendous. I just think it's Tom.
He was eliminated 2 episodes ago, babe.
Yeah, but I still think it's Tom.
And it's not just TV programmes. We've seen this in a big way when it comes to sports too. So whilst TV is still the principal live broadcast medium of major sporting events, the community, conversation, and culture are all on TikTok. Let's see an example from TikTok creator Kirsty Ackerman, who showed us how the TikTok community comes together around the best moments in sport. So for football too, thanks to our community of fans and players, TikTok has now established itself as a credible voice in football. So if I was to ask you guys how many videos were created around the Olympics back in 2021, is anyone brave enough to shout out a guess? Can we hear you even over? That's fine. There was actually a huge 800 million videos that created back in the tournament in 2021, which was obviously delayed for a year because of COVID. And with the Euro 2024 just around the corner, the summer of sport is truly heating up. So for me, whilst growing up in my household, football was always priority number ones for the Ryans. I've personally always been more of a fan of the Olympics and the Paralympics. So I can remember sitting in the break room in my summer job, glued to the TV screen to see where Team GB had scored the latest medals and were moving up the medals table. Couple that with some hopefully great British weather. For me, nothing beats the excitement and energy around the games. In 2021, TikTok surprised and delighted the world as the go-to platform for all things Olympics and Paralympics. And at a time when we were all still coming in and out of lockdown, TikTok provided a new dimension of entertainment around the games that invited everybody in to join the party. Now, perhaps no one better immortalized this than TikTok creator Gina Meredith, who gave us this humorous take on the Olympics at home, which went on to become a wider trend on the platform. A bit of a trigger warning, though, this will take you back to the days of staying indoors.
Home edition. Up first, 100-meter sprint. Here come the horses. Boxing. Fencing. It's the canoe slalom. I'm the medals.
Percent of our users agreed that TikTok videos from fans and creators make the Olympics more entertaining. And it's this shared sense of connection and community that has kept people engaged in new ways on TikTok. From behind the scenes access in the Olympic Village, to gear from their favorite teams, to meme culture, which is obviously everyone's favorite, where our community puts new spin on happenings from across the event. And it's TikTok's vast and varied communities that offer plenty of opportunity for brands who sit outside of the sports category to tap into the many crossovers that exist. Sports content on TikTok features crossover content with interests ranging from music to gaming. And this really increases the community's scope to engage with moments around the Olympics. But perhaps most importantly for all of you here in the room today, it offers your brands the opportunity to reach customers in communities outside of the direct category. And we like to think that all of this goes to show that because of short form videos like ours, it's no longer just about the TV viewing. There's a richer entertainment experience around these cultural moments. In fact, in a study that we ran in 2023, we found that users surveyed were just as likely to watch content around the Olympics and Paralympics on TikTok as they were to watch the live broadcast on TV. Now, for any planners in the room, this conversation doesn't just happen during the event. People are talking about the Olympics way before the opening ceremony. These cultural conversations that happen on platforms like ours extend the longevity of these moments and their penetration into different communities. And perhaps you won't be surprised to know that this doesn't just happen before the games, it happens after the games too. We still see the conversation going strong after the games have finished. In fact, in October 2021, we still saw 317 million posts around the Olympics on TikTok.
I love this quote. We have a team book club and we chose Greg Hoffman, who's the ex-CMO of Nike, in our most recent book, Emotions by Design, highly recommend. And for me as a marketer, this quote really resonates and inspires me. It's an aspirational goal. And I also think it really aspires what TikTok can be in the community around society and our role in the marketing media mix. Because being part of culture in an authentic way boosts your brand's cultural relevance. And it keeps your brand front of mind for consumers for the moments that matter to them. But it's not just about TikTok alone, of course. For brands that show up on both TV and TikTok, we see a 6 percentage point uplift in relevance and a 7 percentage point uplift in likability, showing that a multi-channel approach is really a winning tactic around culture. So, speaking of winning tactics, how can you win on TikTok around cultural moments? And we have 3 considerations for you today. The first is to devise a great ad campaign strategy. How are you showing up in the moments that matter in a TikTok first way? The second is to ensure that your brand is in relevant contextual placements within TikTok with Pulse, our premium ad format, which puts your brand against top performing videos in cultural categories such as sport. And finally, our unique content partnerships offer access to editorial programming, in-app features, and offline moments to help build brands that play an integral role in culture. And when it comes to a great ad campaign strategy, if we start with the basics, we have 4 brilliant basics for you today. So the first up is duration. Increase your chance of incremental purchase by aligning your campaign length to your product purchase cycle, running for a minimum of 3 weeks. Higher frequency brings higher value, and 2 to 3 ads is really the sweet spot. And when it comes to the mix, bundling in-feed ads with high-impact ad units like Top View or Top Feed. And finally, volume and variety. Running 5 to 7 creatives over a 2-month period, refreshing every 2 weeks, will avoid fatigue and really guarantee return on ad spend.
So on to TikTok Pulse, which is our contextual ad format. We're really excited today to announce that we're expanding our content partners in the UK with UK broadcasters ITV, Channel 4 and BBC Studios joining the Pulse Premiere lineup. Advertisers can unlock opportunities to align with a huge breadth of TikTok content from the broadcaster's major properties. So think short-form content from ITV, like Love Island or I'm a Celebrity, or from Channel 4, Late Night Lycett, or my personal favourite, you've got Taskmaster. They're also joined by BBC Studios, who bring iconic drama Doctor Who. Did anyone watch the new Doctor Who this weekend? No? It was out. You can check it out. British soap, EastEnders, much-loved entertainment with Top Gear, and of course, all the epic natural world content from BBC Earth.
And finally, our content partnerships. And these partnerships bottle up the absolute best of TikTok for both our users and for the partners that want to engage around cultural tentpole moments. These projects offer amazing support and editorial value with organic levers such as push notifications, access to incredible creators and top talent, co-funded events, and unique TikTok shop integrations. And of course, that's all paired with a bespoke media plan that really will see the key firepower moments driven home to your audience. Think Clean Talk with Unilever, which took a very mundane category of cleaning and made it into some of the best content we've ever seen on the platform. And of course, our most recent partnership is Peloton with TikTok Fitness.
TikTok's power as a cultural platform for summer's big sporting moments isn't just for brands. It's for athletes too. TikTok can help athletes to connect with audiences and grow their own personal fan bases. So earlier this year, we announced a partnership with Team GB and Paralympics GB that focuses on working with athletes to develop their skills on the platform whilst bringing our community and fans closer to the action of the Summer Games with dedicated content creation spaces at both Team GB House and Paralympics GB House. So in true This Morning style, we actually have one of the athletes who is part of this partnership and a major voice from the platform in 2021 at the Games here with us today. So before we welcome Oliver onto the stage, let's take a look at him in action. Please welcome Oliver Lamb Watson to the stage.
Oliver, welcome. We're so happy that you're here at Advertising Week. This is Oliver's first advertising event, so there's been lots of questions about who are all these people?
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
So how's training going, first of all?
Gosh, yeah, it's a great question. It's ramping up a lot, as you can imagine. It's getting pretty scary at the moment with a qualification just around the corner. And yeah, we've got one more qualification event for para fencing. So it's going to be next week in Sao Paulo. So we're kind of, we're tapering a little bit for that. But there's a lot of energy in the camp at the moment.
Amazing. And we just saw the TikTok that went viral, fair to say. It was a huge audience. So at least our audience here has seen a bit about your work. But for those that aren't familiar with you, could you give us a bit of your background, your story, and how you became to be a Paralympian fencer?
Yeah, of course. Well, I guess it started after university when I went to go see my doctor about my leg. He basically mentioned to me, listen, regardless of whether you amputate it or you live with it, it doesn't really matter. You're never going to be an athlete. And for me, I guess the question was, well, why not? What does that look like? And so I kind of started this journey of exploration of, well, actually, could I run? Could I lift weights? And, you know, social media actually was a big part of that journey of trying to find other people with disabilities who are doing that same thing as me. And it kind of spiraled out of control from there. And I found myself just Googling Paralympic sports, making up a load of tabs and finding wheelchair fencing. And I kind of always liked swords as a kid. And so I thought, yeah, well, you know, let's go for it. What would that look like? I started training full time. 6 months after that, I got selected for my first World Cup. I got absolutely annihilated. it was a horrible experience, but it was a good learning experience. And then I thought, gosh, you know, the Games is around the corner. Tokyo is only 2 years away. Like, what would it look like if I could qualify for the Games in like the quickest time possible? And so, yeah, that's I kind of find myself here today looking for Paris now.
Amazing.
And that's incredible, going from starting training 6 months later, being selected for world championships. Like, you're obviously very, very good at what you're doing. I feel sorry for your opponents. How do you think TikTok has impacted the Olympics and Paralympics then, in your point of view?
I think TikTok and the Paralympics, I mean, as you guys know, you mentioned earlier with TikTok was, you know, Olympic TikTok went crazy. And I remember the buzz of watching the Olympics on the TV, and we're kind of there in our prep camps waiting to go out for a month afterwards. And we're watching all the behind the scenes, and it was great for us to see the buzz and the energy of the village, which usually as an athlete, you don't get to see because you just get to see what's on TV and it's a sport. Yeah. And I think what's amazing is that when we got there, I kind of tried to brand myself as the unofficial Paralympic TikTok, and I was uploading a lot behind the scenes and you know, uploading so many videos of wheelchair fencing. And you know, as one you saw in, earlier, it got about 5 million views. And for me, that was amazing because it's 5 million people that have never seen wheelchair fencing before. And for a niche sport, you know, where we don't have a massive following like some of the other big sports and gymnastics and things like that, that's huge. And do you know what? I'm hoping that if 5 million people who've never seen it before, they're thinking, oh gosh, what is that? That's interesting. If there's someone with a disability growing up and they think, oh God, that's a sport that I had no idea about. Maybe I could do that. Maybe, you know, it will inspire the younger generation to take up para fencing. Maybe it will inspire schools to offer it, because I started para fencing very, very late in my career. But you know, my teammate, he started when he was at school, and he's now a quad Paralympic medalist, world number one. And I always think how many world champions, how many Paralympic medalists could we have in this country if we just started the conversation sooner?
And have you noticed any changes as an athlete into how people engage with you or the event after what happened in 2021?
I think, there's such a buzz about it, about para fencing now. And I think that's up and coming so much more. I think the conversation and the community starts to kind of really get involved and get behind these things, especially when they start to see, actually, okay, I see what's on TV, but actually, what's the person like behind that? And I think it's that kind of satisfaction that you get from, you know, when you see an interview with, you know, an actor after your favorite show, and you think, oh God, they actually have a really great sense of humor. Oh, they're actually normal people as well. And it kind of creates this connection between you and the sport, but also you and the people behind it, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, I love that. And I think what you're saying around like being authentic and allowing people to engage with you in an authentic way is what we say to brands a lot. I couldn't not tell people about a piece of content on your TikTok that I found amazing. So okay. Go check it out. I'm not going to talk about it too much.
I'm scared.
It's effectively behind the scenes insight into the Olympic Village and the beds.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What they're specifically designed not to facilitate.
Okay, yeah, I know.
So go check it out. It's an amazing piece of content.
Very intriguing, Rob.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, you mentioned 5 million people saw your fencing video. Hopefully another few hundred here. Now also much more aware of Paralympic fencing, and we'll be cheering Oliver on it this summer, obviously. Why do you think TikTok has and is so helpful to Paralympians, and how would you be using it more? How do you think athletes should use it more behind the scenes?
I think growing up for me, I'm sort of that generation whereby it was just before social media kind of got really popular when I was young. And I think also being young and disabled is like difficult. Like it's difficult at the best of times. And I think that I remember looking up on screen and watching TV and seeing these amazing athletes, these amazing people, Paralympians and that, and thinking, God, like, wow, that's where I want to be. But there's this piece of glass that separates us, and there's this seems like a million miles away from where I am sat as a young disabled person and these heroes on TV. There's no behind the scenes. There's no, you know, I don't know how, what the steps in between that. And so for me, it's always been about showing my journey. And I wanted to use my story of qualifying for the games and going to the games, and using TikTok, I think, is a great medium for that, which is just showing showing the highs, showing the lows. I think they're just as important. And I think showing the journey as well. And it's something we spoke about earlier, which is, you know, people say it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And I disagree with that as well. I think it's actually about the company. And I think what TikTok allows you to do is to create a community, to create company. So I haven't gone on this journey alone. And, you know, from when I started wheelchair fencing, people were like, you're crazy. You were studying architecture. You were going to the gym. You were doing these obstacle course races. Now you want to become a wheelchair fencer. Like, what are you doing? You're mental. But I had that community and that backing and that support from people all around the world, following my socials and following my story. And so I think, anyway, tying it back to what we said is why I think it's important to show that, is because I want to show the younger generation, well, this is how I did it. You know, it wasn't always good. It wasn't always easy, but, you know, this was my story. And I've documented everything from my first lesson to, you know, training for a Paralympics. And I want to show people, you know, and can communicate that.
Yeah, that's so important.
Of course, you are a TikTok creator. You're part of the partnership that we were speaking about on stage before. You're speaking to a room full of marketers here who might also be thinking about how they can best show up on the platform. So we need to ask you, any good learnings, any good tips of how you create content, engage with your community, because you're clearly a pro.
I think TikTok is amazing because it removes a lot of the barriers to entry that maybe some of the other social medias have. And what I love about TikTok is I'm really impatient. You know, as an athlete, I want to do things immediately and do them 100%. And so I love TikTok because I can just, you know, while I was training for the games, obviously, in Tokyo, I had to focus a lot on that. But I could just film something, edit it, add the music, add a voiceover, add a text and send it out. And then it would be this almost direct link to me and the community. And, you know, I was very small on TikTok when I started doing this, but, you know, a platform that allows me to have such a reach, it's hard to imagine that to have happened anywhere else. And to allow the growth in the community that followed. And I think when it comes to TikTok, like my ethos is about just being authentic. Like this is me. This is the Oliver. And on other socials, I think it's more so like, you know, a bit more clean cut, refined, this and that. And I'm trying to, you know, have an image of certain, you know, as an athlete and show those lovely photos. But TikTok is like, this is me having fun. This is me and my community. This is me enjoying it. This is me trying to be, you know, just being authentic, I guess. And I think TikTok really is a great place for that. And you see so many brands that are doing it really well. Like, you know, we mentioned that McDonald's, I think, do it really well. Lotus, I think, are another brand that do it really well, where they just enjoy it. And I think where they try to just, it's a great opportunity for people to fall in love with the brand, as opposed to like, you know, whatever it is that is they're selling or this and that. I mean, McDonald's and burgers and Lotus and cars. I don't have a Lotus and I don't really eat McDonald's that much, but I love what those brands are doing. And I think as a creator, it's similar. Is that you're trying to just show, actually, this is me.
And you mentioned Duolingo as well. They're also a big fan of Duolingo.
Oh, Duolingo is so funny on TikTok. If you haven't seen Duolingo on TikTok, guys, go check them out. They literally lean so much. I had Duolingo for a bit as athletes. It's like a thing where we just like, in our breaks, we're just like learning, I don't know, like Romanian or something. And and there's like the bird. I don't know if you guys have got it, whereby it's like, you haven't done your lesson today. And it's like, oh my God, okay, I need to do my lesson. And they lean. And me and my friends were joking about it, my teammates. And we're like, oh my God, got that notification. Like I'm feeling anxious about when I'm going to get that, like the little Duolingo bird. I think they call it Duo. And I found that we found their social media, their socials, their TikTok in it. They really lean into that, like the Duolingo bird, like knocking at your door at night, being like, do your lessons. And it's like, it's so funny. It's so authentic. And it's just like, it really makes people love that brand. I think it's great.
And speaking of brands, you've done some brand partnerships.
I have, yeah.
So we were speaking upstairs about Virgin Media.
Yes.
A couple of other ones that you've done. So for the benefit of the audience, what to you as a creator makes a great brand partnership?
For me as a creator, so I did this to shed a bit more light on the Virgin Media thing. Is I did a piece of content for Virgin Media and they asked me to do a 30-second challenge. I think it's to do with the speed of their internet. And I think, so they asked me, can you do, how many kickflips can you do on crutches on a skateboard in 30 seconds? And I've obviously never done that before. I cruise around on a skateboard a little bit, but I'd never tried to do any tricks. And so it wasn't also, so that was the brief. It's a 30-second video on how many kickflips can I do in 30 seconds. But I turned it into a sort of journey of like day one training for this challenge. And I inadvertently gave them obviously a lot of extra content, but also it gave me a lot of fun and it helped build my community. And it helped actually, like, I mean, it was great for the community to see actually, well, look what people are doing. And so I did day one, day two, day three, and I was out there every day trying to do kickflips on my skateboard. And then people were really kind of starting to get invested in this. Oh, when's the challenge? Like, you know, a couple of days, you know, getting closer each time. And it was that story again of that journey and the company that kind of the community that it created. I mean, spoiler, but I did the 30-second challenge. I didn't actually manage a single kickflip. but I was trying my best, but it was such good content. It was such a good piece for Virgin Media, and they absolutely loved it because it was actually, well, yeah, it's authentic. I didn't get there. I didn't actually meet the challenge. I scored zero, but it was actually about the journey of it. And I think having that creative freedom to just, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be authentic with it was amazing.
Perfect.
So final question for me. I feel like I always need to ask this because it gives us a great insight into you. What sort of content do you enjoy on TikTok? Do you have any favorite creators? Are you following your competition?
It's a good question. Yeah, I do follow my competition. It's good to keep an eye on what they're up to. I also like to post a lot of training videos to show them, you know, what I'm up to.
Stress them out.
Yeah, because when I see a training video from my teammate, my competition, I'm like, oh my God, they're training. So like, I'm not taking a break. I follow a lot of food stuff. I love to cook and I watch a lot of recipe videos. I think TikTok's great because I can kind of pause it and I can cook. And then I can pause it and I can cook. So I watch a lot of pasta videos, you know, making this pasta where you put the pasta in raw to the sauce. It's called spaghetti alla sassina. And I just get lost in all these things. I absolutely love those kinds of things. I watch it like education, like, you know, electricity in the pyramids and stuff. I love just like vegging out and watching like, you know, ancient alien stuff. And I think they're great. I think I'm watching like several different films at the moment in like 30-second parts, like the best bits of them, which I also really enjoy. And it's a great thing to have, especially between training when I'm so stressed about qualification and training and doing well. It's just to kind of just relax and enjoy myself.
It's quite a broad range, pasta to conspiracy.
I know, I love it. My algorithm got me so well.
That's a TikTok for you. Well, look, Oliver, thank you so much for being here with us today and being part of your first advertising week. And thank you all so much as well for coming down here today. If you do have any questions, we have a spot upstairs, co-working garden. We'd love to come and have a chat to you. But thank you for being with us and enjoy the rest of your advertising week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website, europe.advertisingweek.com, for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.